It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Now listen, I just saw you do a handstand on your skateboard. I saw you play the drums. Where did you get all this sort of, I guess, mostly a feeling of limitless? In other words, not feeling limited. Where did you get that?
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. That's the lovely Ann Curry.
She's funny.
I could listen to that all day. Let's give something away. You guys ready? Let's go to the phones. Hello, who's this?
This is Todd.
Todd, where are you calling from?
New Mexico.
Where?
New Mexico.
New Mexico's not going to work for this game because I've got to give you a local prize.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Thanks for calling. Yes. Hello, who's this?
This is Matt. I'd like to talk
Matt,
to you.
Matt, where are you calling from?
Lincoln, California.
Lincoln, California, not going to work.
Yeah. Sorry.
Next time, you know, we all the people who were calling from Virginia got blocked out. We had 30 of them, and then Joe lost them there. All right, try this guy, he says. Let's go to, hello, who's this?
Come with Diaza.
Hey, Joe, I got to talk to Paul Peterson. Go ahead and get a winner, and we'll give him the $50 gift card to Capital City Brewing Company. Without further ado, let's welcome this gentleman here, Paul Peterson, primarily known for his character-type roles in the 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. As an adult, he established the organization A Minor Consideration, and we're going to talk to Paul right now about Tatum O'Neill and all things child stars. Hello, Paul, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am here. How are you today?
Hi, Paul, we're doing great. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Well, as you may know, this is a very important topic to me. I keep getting a poster child once a month, it seems. Mm-hmm. But people are going to have to just figure out that there is a serious problem with young celebrities.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, I remember... I'll go back way back, Paul, and I know you know this name. We were out doing one of those CBS Tour of Stars where the radio shows would go out and interview.
Fall shows.
And went down to Venice Beach one day, and I remember, just being kind of a star watcher, and somebody said, hey, that's Dana Plato over there. And she was outside on Venice Beach. She was getting, I think, her hair braided, and I was just kind of looking at her, and she looked, you know, looked horrible, and everybody remembers that tragic story that she had a horrible time of it. And it seems like it's a nonstop supply of these child stars that seem to get into trouble. You know, you've got the obvious biggies, Britney and Lindsay Lohan, but most recently with Tatum O'Neill, who certainly is much too old to be called a child anymore. But she's still fighting her demons, and I felt sorry for her when I started coming out of that jail today.
And well, you should look. You are looking at damaged goods.
Right.
The whole process of early fame so upsets the process of development, character development, and education. And then seeing a kid in the entertainment business, you ought to be looking hard at the parents. And yet look what our world has become, where we have Jamie Lynn Spears, the 16-year-old sister of Britney, knocked up 16. She's been on a series for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Who's watching the store? Mom gets a television show?
It's amazing. It really is. I have to bring up something that I saw Danny Bonaducci say today.
Mm-hmm.
Danny was on, and, we know he's fought his demons. All you have to do is listen to that voice. And, he sounds like he's been through the war. The thing is, Danny was talking about the fact that people will label this as the star syndrome, where they didn't get the attention and then they acted out because of that, or it's a disease because of the substance. And Danny said something after that I agree with. He said he disagrees with both those theories. He says it's the way you are brought up by your family, the family environment you come from. I'm inclined to agree with that, Paul. What's your take on it?
Well, yes, at least in 50% of the cases, and from my own personal experience. Now, remember, you're talking to an alcoholic who's been sober now for darn near 16 years.
Congratulations!
And you were on the Donna Reed Show. You were a child star, where instantly recognize. You're still recognizable, even at you've got that kind of face that's held up over the years. I see you on the tube, and I'm like, immediately I remember that face.
Well, that's a good thing, you know. Thank you, genetics, or the fact that I was pickled for 30 years.
And is that why you took up this cause, Paul?
That's part of it, because actually I had established myself as an author. You know, I was writing books for Simon & Schuster and Random House, but I got tired of all of these nightmarish phone calls and seeing my brothers and sisters, because we are a fraternity when it comes to former child stars, seeing them get into so much trouble when I, at the root, understood that I've got a 50% component of the parents of child stars, and the other 50%, and people don't like hearing me say this, is this specifically American trait of waiting for idols to fall.
Sure.
Serves them right.
Yeah.
Oh, you had your time in the sun. You blew it. Your fault. Never looking at our own culture, because believe me, there are plenty of 44-year-old women out there who are scoring crack cocaine, who are desperately alone.
Hello?
And in need of help.
Hello.
Beth Ann,
you've been suffering, Paul.
Through that. Yes.
Glad you noticed me.
No, Beth Ann, you're the opposite of that. You know, Paul, it really is. Look, you're not going to change American culture overnight. And I certainly don't think you're going to change our society and our culture of waiting for the big guy to fall. I see it on the smallest possible level of low-level celebrity, and I see it on the national level. Americans love to, you know, build somebody up and tear them down. I mean, as soon as they reach the pinnacle, that's when we want to tear everybody down. Nothing's going to change that. What is a group like a Minor Consideration, your organization for child stars, what do you do to help these kids cope if they're not getting the support from their parents?
First of all, to show them that they're not alone, they are not the first, and that they have a built-in reservoir of affection and respect and understanding. There are over 600 former kid stars in our group. 600. We reach all the way back to the 1920s, when the same problems were evidenced then as exist today. Diana Sarah Carey was Baby Peggy back in the 20s.
Do you have any munchkins?
As a matter of fact, we do. You know, there's a special place in every kid actor's heart for little people, because
right,
they
course.
So often were our doubles or our stand-ins.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
So the community is really quite small, and we get tremendous support. But we also do.
Pardon the pun. I have to interrupt you there. It was a quite small community. So I'm sorry. I'm kidding, of course.
That's okay. Right. But, you know, here's as distinct from the American tendency to knock idols down, there is also an American tendency to fix things. And since you're there in the nation's capital, let me remind everybody what they've heard me say for 30 years. Children in the entertainment business are exempt from federal child labor laws, and have been since 1938.
Even like infants? I thought there were laws like...
forget that.
Really?
It's propaganda. It's
nonsense. I had no idea. I always thought, for example, if you're seeing a baby, an infant on a soap opera, that they can only keep that soap
opera. Yeah, it was like twins.
That baby on camera for a short time. You're saying that that's just
California,
a bunch of BS?
Only in California and marginally less in New York. You got to understand, North Carolina, where, for example, Drew Barrymore filmed Firestarter and admits that her addictions began at age 9, has no child labor laws. And, oh, by the way...
That might be the Northern California factor, though, Paul.
No.
We get a lot of calls from Sacramento. I know those people.
North Carolina.
Oh, North Carolina. Oh, I love the people of North Carolina.
Well,
there
North
I was.
North Carolina is also the place where...
Sorry, Sacramento.
Dakota Fanning, just last year, played in a movie called Hound Dog, in which she was raped on camera. She's 12 years old.
Right. Yeah, they don't seem to protect these kids that are involved. Well, how much do the parents play a role in this, though? Because, you know, getting back to what I heard today, you know, you're talking about parents that... I don't know. I'm the father of a soon-to-be 13-year-old and a soon-to-be 11-year-old, and I think they're the cutest kids in the world. I think every parent says, wouldn't it be nice to see the kids on camera? And I'll ask you, I mean, because it cuts right to, you know, the source here. I don't know how you were raised, Paul, but is there a type of parent that does this? I mean, do we have these? Are these stage parents that we get?
Absolutely. Of course there are parents who are either living their lives through their children or feel that they got a raw deal, you know, from God, and that they see their children as talented and want to share them with the world. And these are the parents who will not invest in their own career while they push their kids. You know, just think of the movie Gypsy, where Natalie Wood looks looks at Rosalind Russell,
right,
who is saying, you know, I sacrificed everything for you. Why do you think I was sewing all those costumes and teaching you your dialogue? And Natalie Wood says, gee, Mom, I thought you were doing it for me.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And that, and there is a stereotypical parent. And, hey, Bonaducci's show, I Know My Kid's a Star, showed you what I live with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly, all the time. You have to look at somebody, and the classic example where nothing bad has happened yet, but you've certainly heard the rumors about the father. I'm watching David Archuleta on the Today Show the other day
please.
when they're both there, and they go to the green room or the makeup room, and you're watching David Cook get made up, and he's in makeup, and then we're going to go to this other room where David Archuleta is doing his homework, and I looked at David Archuleta and I said, well, this kid that's coming out there, and he's like, oh, sweetness and light and everything, and I'm saying, man, when, you know, he's just going to get to a moment. I mean, it might be 25, it might be 30, but
snap.
Something's going to just go kaboom, because it's almost like he's being conditioned to be this Shirley Temple sweetheart. But then again, you look at Shirley Temple Black, and she totally had her act together, right?
Oh, don't be confused.
Okay, all right.
Shirley Temple has written about her life.
All right.
And let me give
I just
you,
thought she was like an ambassador and all that.
Well, she grew
around.
Up to be an extraordinary woman. Now, there is no question about that.
Right.
But she herself writes of the day when her second husband, remember, she had an abusive first marriage to John Agar. He would not marry her until he found out what it was that Shirley Temple was bringing to the marriage. And he sat down with her banker father and demanded to know what Shirley had. And this is what her father said. Shirley has $40,000 in the bank and the deed to the dollhouse. The dollhouse was behind her parents' mansion.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the strip joint.
No.
Okay, I'm sorry. Just. Sorry.
You have to listen carefully here.
I'm sorry. Yes. I'm here
and
all
even
week.
Even though
Thank
Shirley
you.
Temple does not harbor bitterness.
Right.
I, on her behalf, will tell you that that's not a square deal for the gal who got this country through a depression and into a war and made $40 million for MGM to come out of that with $40,000 and the deed to a dollhouse built for her by MGM employees is not square.
No, I mean,
but isn't that the way they did things then? I mean, practically, you know, the movie studios.
Yeah, are they still doing it? Are they still doing it today?
It's the way they do things now.
Ah.
And if you're not working in California, where at least we have the most progressive child labor laws, you are at serious risk. Well, guess what? The entertainment business is all over the world now.
You know, I wonder about American Idol. You're talking about the hottest show on television. I would love to see one of the websites like The Smoking Gun produce a contract from American Idol, because I guarantee you those kids, they have to jump through the hoops.
Absolutely.
They are, you know, they're going on this tour. They have to, you know, do the Up With People thing. Granted, this is what they want.
Sure. That's what they want, because we tell them that's what they want.
They make better money.
Paul, do they? I want you to go look on Smoking Gun.
Beth Ann, you would be surprised.
They don't.
Did you remember the show last year, Kid Nation?
Yes, very
yeah.
much
Go
so.
Look at that contract.
Now, that
I'd love to see that. I would really love to see that.
But that was like real kids and on a TV show for Kid Nation. These are, you know, the American Idols, aren't they? They get like $300,000, $350,000 for that summer tour.
Yes,
I think that's what they
keep saying that
Which
they
isn't
only
bad.
Find the best of the best of the best. And guess what? You know, America, I mean, since Ted Mack Amateur Hour, you can go back as far as you want. We all have a fascination with the talent contest. The problem is the entertainment business requires a character that is diamond hard, and they're not looking for that.
No.
That's not what they're looking for. What you see is David Archuleta.
Yeah, you do. You want to see the kids that are sweetness and light, and then, God forbid, they don't get the record deal, or they get the record deal and it falls flat on its face, and then they're left out there. But you know what? There might be a significant part of our audience listening to this, Paul, that says, you know, can you hear that? That's the world's smallest violin playing right now. You know, these are people that have, you know, gotten something that we all cherish, that we all want. What do you say to the people who say, you know, hey, they had their moment in the sun. C'est la vie. Deal with it. Life isn't fair.
Exactly. And if you're comfortable of watching, for example, a university graduate who happened to play in the NFL confessing to America that he can't read or write, well, then you're welcome to those feelings. I, on the other hand, think that kids, at least, ought to get a fair shake. And if it, isn't it amazing that the end of every movie and television you've ever seen, when an animal is employed,
right,
it says right at the end, no animal was killed or injured in the making of this film.
Yeah, but an eight-year-old...
Why doesn't it say that about kids?
Yeah, maybe it should say an eight-year-old was kept up for 24 hours while we were shooting this scene.
And you don't have to, look, you don't have to think that, you know, I'm some embittered, frustrated old person. You know, I'm going to be 63 this year.
Wow.
I'm not asking for me. And none of these horror stories happened to me. I'm telling you truthfully, nobody beat me up. Nobody stole my money. I loved being rich and famous. It was fun.
Yeah,
because I could understand the words to popular music, and sex couldn't kill you.
Right.
And let me tell you, I had a great time.
Hey, I have to ask you, you know, Donna Reed, I swear to God, Donna Reed in
lovely
her day.
Woman.
Very, very cool. You're a big fan, right?
And how cool was it watching Shelley Fabre grow up before your eyes?
Oh, absolutely. And America is still in love with Shelley.
Sure.
We all have to pray for her. You know, she's a seven-year survivor of a liver transplant.
I know.
That's amazing.
And in Donna Reed's name, we have, this will be our 22nd year of the Donna Reed Festival in her hometown, where
wow,
we award college scholarships to kids who want to go into university in the performing arts.
Paul, how do we break this cycle that you're concerned about, the child stars? How do we fix this situation?
Well, first, we are going to have to fix this national exemption to federal child labor laws, so you can't hop over to New Mexico to film a television show or go up to Idaho to film a baby commercial where you keep triplets at work for 17 hours a day.
Yeah, that is way out of line. I didn't even know
line.
That. I always thought, especially with the babies, I thought, you know, hey, they can only be on camera. That's really not true. That's just in California. So if they go out of state, they can change that.
Absolutely. Or go out of the country, mm-hmm, which is even worse. You know, they almost threatened to do Kid Nation in Yugoslavia.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but how many infants are starring in a film? I mean, you only need the babies for so long.
How about baby geniuses?
Look who's talking.
I mean, or look who's talking. Mm-hmm. You're talking about hiring triplets. And what they say is, well, we don't hurt these babies. You can see it on film.
And what you're saying is you have to protect the kids against their parents in some cases.
Of course. Only in California, because us former kid stars got together and said this has to change.
Good.
Only in California does the child who does the work own the money. Because, you see, children in the rest of our nation are chattel. They are property of their parents. Let me give you the wording of this law, because it's astonishing. You'd think it's medieval times. Here's the language. The parents of a working child are entitled to its custody, income, and services. That's
okay.
The law.
So, in other words, they can have you know, the kid in there working 17 hours
and the
a day.
Parents get
it's
all
a
the
hit
money.
TV show. They collect the money, and that's it. Screw the kid.
That's
indentured
right, except
slavery.
In California, where we were able to convince people. Now, how do you think you get parents who put their 12-year-old daughter on camera 24/7, undressing, getting into bed, acting sensual? How do you get that? Well, you get that in states where there are no laws protecting children from this sort of abuse.
Because they don't have the volume of production that you do out in L.A.
Well, that's part of it. But the biggest
laws.
Reason we got the law changed is you get 40 snarling former kid stars in a room. You pay attention.
Because you're also goddamn obnoxious.
Angry.
Well, yeah,
angry.
Exactly. No, but the truth, but we see, we carry our credibility with us.
Right.
And
sure,
when you talk about the decline in educational standards or the condition of people who are picking our crops, maybe I'm the only person in this country doing this, but you got to realize that the same exemption that young performers have to federal child labor laws applies to the children in the agricultural business.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We have 800,000 children picking our crops from southern Texas to the Arctic Circle, and they are not protected by federal standards.
Well, amen. I'm all with you. And one last question for you regarding
sure,
the current situation. What would you say to Tatum O'Neill, right, if she was sitting down in front of you right now? What would you say to her?
Oh, what I say to so many drunks and drug addicts, the demon will always be in you. Being sober is not just whether you had a drink or you used today. It's your mind. You get your mind around this and hang with the people who have also gotten their life together, you'll discover that you can get better. And I'm praying, Mike, seriously, that your audience wishes the best for her, not the worst, the best for Tatum.
That's right. Very nice. Right. Paul Peterson, we really, really appreciate you coming on. If you want to find out more of this, people can go to paulpeterson.com?
Yes, or minorcon.org for a minor consideration, and I'd love to have more visitors.
Thanks a lot.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Take care, Paul.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's Paul Peterson. Donna Reed Show, way back. Also was on Matt Houston for a while in the 80s, and he played the author Paul Conway in the film Mother's Day. You might know it's a very familiar face.
All of this before my time.
He does look the same as he did when he was a kid.
Scary. And you know what?
Leave It to Beaver does.
A lot of kid stars do, which creeps me out entirely, too. All right, we've got the Hollywood Hot Sheet, and also we'll put the Preparation H on Bo when we come back right after this.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.